Pigeon.
Make Maddie proud. Make Daddy proud.
Don't dye your hair.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hello, welcome back, everybody. Just Alex and I today. So first up, we got wellness check. The Leafs, like, suck.
What is happening? What, like, literally, what is happening with them? Because I'm like, oh, yay, coming off of Sweden, we're on a high. Let's go. How do you lose to the freaking Chicago Blackhawks?
Yeah, literally. Okay. In overtime, to be fair, that overtime was the most unlucky overtime for two teams I have ever seen. Like, William Nylander hits post, crossbar, post. Insane. And then there's some plays, I can't remember what it was, but there's a couple plays by Chicago where it's like, how the fuck did that not go in the net? What happened? Yeah, so they lost in overtime to Chicago, which, to be fair, I will at least partially blame on the NHL scheduling that game at 2:30. Like, that's so mean. They just came back from playing overseas, and you're like, actually, you're going to play at a weird game time for you. You played at 2:30 Eastern last week, too.
I know. When I was... I think I was working, because I had work on Friday. Thursday was Thanksgiving. Came Friday, and I was just hanging out, and I get a notification from the Leafs Twitter page, and it said something about like a Friday or afternoon game, and I assumed they meant afternoon as in, oh, we're playing 4:30, 5 o'clock. I was not expecting 2:30, and then like the tweets started rolling in, and I was like, hold on, was this even, because I know they do like the, oh my God, what did they call it? I know they do like the kids games earlier.
Nope. They're in Chicago. It was just like, it's their Thanksgiving Friday. We'll have some games in the afternoon, and they decided the Leafs should be one of those, which is not very fair. Like, they're like, yeah, okay, so the last game you played was 8:30 Sunday morning. The first game you'll play is Friday at 2:30, and then you're also going to play Saturday at 7. Like, just back to back.
While being jet lagged, it's fine, everybody, it's fine.
Yeah. Like, just absolutely ridiculous. Willie lost his point streak on Friday, but also we have secondary scoring, but only secondary scoring. I don't know what happened. We can't have both. We can only have secondary scoring or, like, the first two lines scoring. No in between. This team hurts me.
Truly, it does.
They're literally fifth in the division right now. Like, what the fuck's up with that?
Yeah, that's spooky. I don't like that. Why is Boston one? I don't like that much either.
Like, what the fuck?
I thought they were gone. I thought Boston was on a decline and just gone.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about Boston again.
No, me either. Yeah, that's it. I did actually watch all of Friday's game, but I can't really remember anything. It's all gone. Was there anything else I had that was Leafs related?
Oh, there's something I had. The picture when they played the Penguins on... Is that yesterday? Yes. Saturday?
That was yesterday,
Picture of Alex and Willie, it brought to the forefront of my mind that if we had Alex Nylander, he could have came to Sweden. Mm-hmm. Like, how sad. Willie and his entire family, except Alex.
Exactly.
So sad. It's wrong to keep them apart.
It truly is. Not to mention Kyle Dubas not wanting him all those other times that he had the opportunity to get him. And mm-hmm. now he's like, yep, we'll keep him. Kyle's been reading our tweets. He's doing this just to us.
Literally.
To be fair, I think we have tweeted at him several times. We might have brought this upon ourselves. And we already at that point knew that he was aware of the podcast Twitter
yes.
on two separate occasions. So.
Oh God.
This is what you get. Sometimes you tweet at your GM and he responds with a book recommendation. Other times you tweet at your GM and he will not acquire a player you like, but will keep the player on his current team.
Literally. So rude.
So rude. John Klingberg, I forgot about him. He's on LTIR. So they didn't leave him on a farm in Sweden as was suspected might happen. But he's been put on LTIR. They're like, I think he's close to deciding to have a surgery was kind of what I understood from that. Do I have any idea what it's related to? No. He's just injured. And Connor Timmins is back. I don't know if he's any good, but he's back. He was not noticeable in the first game, which is kind of what you want, like, a sixth defenseman to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second game, for some reason, they decided to go 11-7. Oh! Ryan Reeves scored on Friday. He played.
Oh my god, yes, I saw that.
And second of all, he scored. Which was, like, you could see the weight of the world come off his shoulders and the bench mm-hmm. was all excited for him. And I was like, actually, no, this is not good.
No.
Sorry, the fourth line was working without you. You need to stay out of it. And Nick Robertson and Max Domi seem to be, like, really meshing. Because Max Domi prefers to pass the puck and Nick Robertson has a wicked shot. So, little things here. Little things. I actually don't know what else I have on. I literally have three other things here. This is not great. Okay, on to the next one. So, Taylor Hall is getting surgery.
Hold on. Did you almost just say Taylor Swift?
I also have something in my bookmarks related to Taylor Swift. So, yes, I did almost already say Taylor Swift.
I heard the yes.
Yeah, it was there. I mean, that's my go-to, right? Like, if I'm going to say Taylor, it's going to be followed by Swift. It's not going to be followed by anything else. So, Taylor Hall is getting surgery on his right knee and is out for the season. Did I remember that he was on the Blackhawks? No.
No.
And we've talked about it more than once.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actively thinking about Taylor Hall.
Me too. Honestly, I forget about him now. He was yeah. in Boston, and then I was like, absolutely not. You are out of my brain. Get out of here.
Was he? Was it? Oh my god, wait, where did he? He started on Jersey, right? Maybe not started.
Edmonton.
Oh my god, yes, you're so right. Oh my god. The only thing I can picture Taylor Hall in is a Devil's jersey, and other than that, he's just erased from my mind.
To be fair, that was his best season, was with that one Devil's season, mm-hmm. where he had, like, the heart. He won the heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the trade was one for one. That's Taylor Hall.
Yeah, yeah, forget that was him.
That was him. Oh, Taylor Hall. There's actually, you know what? There's a lot of funny things related to him. Not to mention the Gucci bag. Is that what it was?
Yes. Some bag. I think it was Gucci.
Yeah. Like.
I think that's why I actively keep him out of my head, so I don't have to think about that.
Also very valid. Okay, the other thing with Chicago is that they have been so weird about Corey Perry. So, he was scratched. He was healthy scratch for a game. I don't know. Could have been because he was playing bad. Like, if you healthy scratch someone once, you're like, okay, whatever. Oh my god. My computer just did something crazy. All right, we're good. And then Nope, my brain's fried. Okay, so he was scratched once. And then he was scratched again. And then they just, like, were not commenting on it. They would not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And for Chicago, you're like, okay, that's sketchy as fuck. And then they finally, and they kept saying it was an organizational decision.
What does that even mean?
To me, that means, so either you say he's scratched because he's shit, you know.
Or like trading. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. He's scratched because he's shit. Whatever. We're fine with that. He's scratched because he's injured. Whatever. He's been away from the team. When you say an organizational decision, that to me with the Chicago organization makes me think he has committed some heinous crime.
That is fact.
Like, and if it's something personal, you just say he's away from the team for personal reasons.
Yeah.
He would appreciate privacy at this time. That's it. It's that simple to say something. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're like, okay, what the fuck does that mean? What did he do? What happened?
I know.
You jumped to the worst with that team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And I, like, in my brain, whenever I see tweets about it, I'm just like, is it a personal, like, medical issue? Is it a family issue? But also, in that sense, it wouldn't be an organizational decision. It would be, like, a personal decision. And also, like, why are you not saying anything? Like, the Blackhawks, like, why are you not saying anything? But on the other hand, there's so many Twitter sleuths. If there was some, like, crime or anything, like, that I feel like would have been dug up at this point. And I just need to know what's going on. This is, like, the drama that does not involve me that I just want to know.
Mm-hmm. His agent released a statement that says he stepped away from the team to attend to personal matters. His family appreciates the privacy at this time. Again, that is contradictory to organizational decision.
For sure.
So, like, what is truth?
Like, unless it was, like, does he have a no trade list?
I have no idea.
I'm always thinking if it's like a thinking about trading, we're going to scratch you and just like hold on to you. And
but they normally say for precautionary reasons. That's normally their phrasing on that, right?
Also true.
Yeah, definitely Corey Perry CPAP is what I was trying to type. I love Google suggestions. They're so useful. It doesn't seem like he has any clauses in his contract.
I was wondering, like, if it was something like that, maybe it was like if he had a big no trade list, if it was him being like, oh, I've got to make a decision that's right for my family, how to move forward. But also, like, that also does not make sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, the entire situation is so sketchy.
There's really, like, no reasonable explanation.
No.
I don't like it.
No, neither do I. Like, and we're probably not even going to hear about it unless it ends up in some criminal situation. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. So, we'll see, I guess. For some reason, the Canucks had Prince Harry at the game and Meghan at the game. And we were like, first of all, they provided zero context to begin with. They're just like, he's dropping the puck. And I was like, okay. But why is he there? Like, I get he lives in Vancouver, but, like, you kind of need a reason to. The answer was the Invictus Games, which is Commonwealth Games for veterans. It's something he's been a part of for a long time, but it was just, like, very weird to see Prince Harry dropping the puck and then videos of him and Meghan reacting to things that were clearly like, what is going on? Was that, like, what's offside? Like, that kind of reaction. Okay. Oh, I forgot about this. So, former NHL referee Tim Peel, who I don't remember if he probably had retired at that point. I think first of all, he was not very good at his job. He was like one of the consistency, like, if I know a referee's name, it means they're bad, typically.
Real.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is my opinion for baseball. Like, if I know an umpire's name, I know he's shit. Like, that is how it goes. So he was, like I said, notably not a very good, consistent, mostly referee. Also, notably, if we'll remember, he berated two young officials at his son's game. Like, he went into the ref's room to yell at them, and was banned for several games from, like, entering the arena. Anyway, so he shares DMs of Mark Spector, who, I will say, there are no heroes in this story.
Mm-mm.
I should preface this.
You can't even choose a side because there's just not one.
They're all fucking horrible. Okay, so Mark Spector, who is an Edmonton reporter and kind of an asshole. He's not quite Steve Simmons, but he's up there. So he shares DMs of Mark Spector DMing him and says, "Thanks for piling on, Tim. I'll remember that the next time you fuck up." It doesn't have the initial one, but it was like he'd asked Connor McDavid if he'd rather win 4-1, which is, I will admit, a stupid ass question.
For sure.
And then Mark Spector replies, "You refs never have the balls to answer a question for your shit ass work, and you're critiquing me."
Your shit ass work.
It's actually a typo and it's shut ass. I had to mid talking correct there. And then Tim Peel says, "Quit being so sensitive, grow some balls, never played the game." And Mark Spector goes, "Been around it long enough to know a horseshit ref when I see one, Tim. I've been very good to read my whole career, 35 years. Thanks for noticing." And Tim Peel says, "You've always been a fucking fraud, buddy." Like,
fucking fraud is what kills me. Like, what? It's just too good. It's too good to be true.
And then Frank Saravelli, who I don't think he's good at his job. I will put that there. Because he literally, anything he posts is just like, the team will post like that they've signed someone and he'll just like quote tweet them and say breaking. Like, yeah, that's like 80% of his news breaking. Like, that he's not breaking anything. He's not like Elliot Friedman giving away the entire Seattle expansion literally before it's happened.
Elliot Friedman's a real one.
Yeah. Like, him and, like, Jeff Merrick and Kevin Weeks. Like, those are the three that, like, tend to break things all the time. So, Frank Saravelli, who is the head of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. This needs to be emphasized. I also think he's very bad at that job. I think he's far too concerned with stupid little things when he should be concerned with big picture things. And from what I understand, they created this women's chapter and then just like kind of randomly picked like some women's hockey reporters who are also not relevant. Like, there didn't seem to be any logic applied to how they were picked. Other than, "Oh, I think I've heard this name before." That was my interpretation of the picking. So he replies, "Hey Tim, nice work tweeting private combos. Ah, that's right. You couldn't spell class if I spotted you on the ASS. Paid any visits to berate teenagers in the referee locker rooms recently? Remember that?" And then linked to the Athletic article about it. "Or did you drunk tweet it and delete it like usual?"
Vile. Vile.
Literally. Like, and that is so professional for the head of the Professional Hockey Writers Association to be doing. Like, come on. And Tim Peel replies, "Ah, that hurts, Frank. Your buddy Spectre's been in the business for 35 years. I'm sure he can fight his own battles. He messaged me because you guys want everyone else to be held accountable except yourselves when you ask ridiculous questions. No wonder players want out of Canada." I genuinely, this was such a fucking insane piece of things happening. Like, this is what happens when the NHL has no games on Tuesday and no games on Thursday. Like, they had 7 games on Monday, 0 games Tuesday, 14 games Wednesday, 0 games Thursday. Like, this is what happens. Oh man, this league is such an embarrassment.
Really is.
Oh man, I just enjoyed it because they're both awful and it just was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both in the wrong. All three, actually. Okay, what else? Have some more details on the potential World Cup of Hockey in 2025. It'll be a week-long event. They want to play some games overseas. 4 or 6 teams. Russia will not be involved due to geopolitics. If it's 4 teams, it will be Canada, the U.S., Sweden, and Finland. And, like, I have lots of questions about this. But it's the Russia not involved due to geopolitics for me, because, like, yes, sports are not sports are inherently political, but, like, we're still allowing, like, Olympic athletes to go under their Russian or the mm-hmm. Olympic athletes of Russia flag, right? Like,
yeah,
we're still allowing them to play, to participate. So it's just, like, silly that that's where the NHL draws the line.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, like, teams like Czechia and, like, Germany on the world stage has been seriously improving a lot over the past couple of years. So it'd be nice to see them in there. And I think I still think that they should just bring back the original World Cup of Hockey that they had. Give me Team North America again.
Fact.
That is my other Roman Empire. I think, despite one, not watching that tournament at all. Like, I generally don't think I watched that tournament. Because it was kind of right before I got back into hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, I didn't watch it, but it has had such a lasting impact on everybody.
Mostly. It was truly iconic.
Mm-hmm. I can't stop thinking about the Colton Pareko, Morgan Riley, just that as a D pair. I haven't stopped thinking about that actually since about 2016. So,
honestly, the jerseys were kind of fire too.
Mm-hmm. The jerseys were really good. Okay, what else happened this week? Okay, so Marc-Andre Fleury had commissioned a custom designed Native American Heritage mask for Native American Heritage Night. And it's to honor his wife, who is Native.
Mm-hmm.
And the NHL says he can't wear it even for warmups.
Just ridiculous and makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. And then Fleury said he was going to wear it anyway and pay the fine, and the NHL threatened the Wild, I assume with something like a much larger fine, because they can fine teams a lot more than they can fine individuals. We never really knew it exactly what the kind of thing, the what it would be. The other thing is, like, the NHL is not going to fine a billionaire enough money that it's significant to them.
Never.
Like, it's way better for the Wild organization for him to play and them to pay the fine than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
honestly just ridiculous at this point.
Because
mm-hmm. like there was that whole tweet that was circulating basically saying like, how are you going to tell a player that they can't have a Native American person make a helmet for a Native American Heritage Night for a player while like Marc-Andre Fleury is supporting the Native community, supporting his wife, supporting, like, whatever. Meanwhile, the Chicago Blackhawks are still out here.
Yeah, that's the thing that's the worst, is the Chicago Blackhawks are out here with a racist logo,
mm-hmm.
a racist name. Like, that is not honoring Native American heritage at
literally.
All.
And, like, I have not done enough research in a while to outwardly say this, but also I think it's pretty fact. But it's not, I'm pretty sure, again, have not researched this in a while, but I'm pretty sure teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Native community that wants them there, that created the logo, that they donate money to, that they work with. That, okay, cool, fine, awesome, because they use like the imagery and the name. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure the Chicago Blackhawks were like, this is a sick name, dude. Slap it out on jersey. Like, just pick the most racist logo that you could possibly think of.
Exactly, yeah. And you have to remember, they're an original six team, so this logo was created in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hasn't changed since then. It hasn't evolved with the times. Which it really should.
Yeah.
But it's going to be impossible for the NHL to be bullied into that because they'll be like, the history, mm-hmm. the history.
I just don't understand.
Names three times.
Mm-hmm. Literally. I also just don't understand. You see this going across, well, at least with football. Like, if there is something that's not benefiting the community or does not have like the community support and whatever, like the Washington Redskins,
mm-hmm.
they made them change their name, so exactly. why can't we be changing the Blackhawks name?
Exactly,
because again, it's not like they do anything significant for the Native community. No. They're not, like, you don't see them at their, like, I don't know. You don't see them outwardly, publicly donating money and supporting the Native community. So.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You don't see anything from Chicago. So they, you know, really should be changing their name here. Anyway, so Fleury decided to go ahead with it anyway. And of course, the NHL does not fine him because they're spineless idiots. Like, it's genuinely, I don't understand how the NHL is so fucking stupid. They would rather to cater to a small portion of bigots in their mm-hmm. fan base than expand their fan base to new markets. Like, they must have zero business sense.
I know. That is also not, like, not to bring it up again, but, like, last week how I talked about how the LA Kings have a million and one nights. And I swear to God, for each of these nights, they have been wearing all different jerseys. And I'm just like, I don't know if I would love to go back, because, again, I just started, like, actually paying attention to this team. I would love to go back and see if they like always did these nights, if they always had all of these special jerseys commissioned, even if now this season they can only wear them walking into the arena. But like, I just don't under, like, what is the harm of supporting things? Again, it's growing your fan, it's making you money. So how is being like, nah, we're not allowing anyone to support any cause at all. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's so stupid. They were auctioning off the mask anyway, and the tweet like 3 days ago when it happened was that it was at $5,600 before the game had even started. So you know that the Wild community has everybody's back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so
also just a wild thing to do, like in Minnesota, where there's, I want to say, don't quote me on this, but one, it's, I believe, one of the highest Native populations in the United States, I believe, is in Minnesota. That is just a wild thing to deny a player to do.
Exactly. And I, if I recall last year, like, well, first of all, the fact that they're even having a Native American Heritage Night is a great thing, and I don't think we see that too much with any of the other NHL teams, despite like Toronto, for instance, is on the lands of at least three, off the top of my head, Native, on the territorial lands of Natives. So, like, we don't have one, and we should. So it's great on the Wild to, one, even be having it, and two, for the Wild community to be supporting it so well. So good on the Wilds. Good on Marc-Andre Fleury. As always, a fuck you to the NHL and Gary Bettman. That's just like my official position on him, is just fuck you. Really? Get out of my sport. Let someone who has a brain and a backbone do the job. Like, that's all I have to say.
There's so many. So many people that could run this ship better than him at this point.
Yeah, genuinely a small collective of hockey Twitter individuals.
Yes.
Like, I could put together a tiny brain trust right now. Give me 20 minutes. Like, sometimes I feel like you could pull a kid off the street and that kid could run the NHL better.
That is true.
Like, it's time to retire, Gary, and it's time to get out of here and have new leadership.
I just, like, how did he even find himself in this position?
I don't know. He was a lawyer first. What a loser. When you think about it, makes so much fucking sense.
It does. Well, oh my god, it does. Because you see the way the guy can't take accountability for anything, because he's like, oh, if I don't apologize, if I don't say XYZ is true, then they can't catch me. That is the most lawyer-ass thing. Oh my god, I hate that man.
Yep.
What a loser. Class A loser.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. I genuinely only have two other things on the list. And one is, do you remember how, just pre-COVID, I think, Dustin Byfuglien kind of just didn't sign with Winnipeg again, didn't officially retire, didn't anything, just kind of dropped off the face of the earth?
I think so.
It might have been during COVID, but he just, like, sometime in the last four-ish years had just kind of dropped off the face of the earth instead of, we're like, okay, so is he coming back? And then we didn't hear anything. Like, it was just nothing. Radio silence.
Has there been an update?
Yeah, there is. He's a competitive fisher now.
No shot.
He's been a competitive fisher for two tours. For two seasons. Yeah, he has had two top tens. Oh, sorry, 6 years on the tour. That math can't be right. Maybe he's doing it in the off season. I have questions.
So many.
Dustin Byfuglien. I am glad that it gave me the spelling of his name so quickly, because I genuinely had no idea. how to spell it as I started typing. Okay, his last season. Oh, 2018-19, even longer than I thought. So maybe he has been a competitive fisher for 6 years now.
That's disgusting to think about.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, six years on the tour, two champions, tour top tens. Good for him.
That's wild. What even is a competitive fisher?
Like, genuinely, you fish competitively. I don't know more than that.
I think Rhode Island or one of, it's either like Rhode, somewhere in Rhode Island, the Hamptons or somewhere on the Cape. Every summer, I think they have this like big competition where I don't know what kind of fish it is. If it's some kind of like giant fish, and they have to go out and catch the biggest type of this fish that they can get, and then they race back, and the fish has to be it has to be like in good condition and stuff. Is it like that, or is he just like catching as many fish as quick as possible?
I think it's like that.
Largemouth bass.
Yeah, I think it's like that. You have to catch a specific type of fish. It has to be, you know, the biggest one or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's
I'm like, the man also, like, he's freaking huge.
He is. He like, actually should have been he looks like a football player in that
photo. He does, I was about to say. He looks like a freaking, I don't even know, defensive lineman. Like, he is wide.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the thing is, everybody was like, what do you mean he's not coming back? Like, I think everybody expected him to come back and play another season or two because he was doing very well still for being, like, 32-ish and a defenseman in that size. Like, normally you'd expect he'd really slow down. But he was still really in it.
I just can't believe, like, granted, I do not pay attention to the Winnipeg Jets, but I just assume that he was still there. Like, that's not a last name that you forget. I just assume that he's full time.
I only knew because I have like 3 or 4 Jets mutuals. So I had seen them be like, come back, Buff. We miss you. And I'm like, okay, right. He's not still playing there. But I think, like, even around that time, there were rumors of him being traded to Toronto and stuff. Like, there was lots of rumors and, you know, rumblings, etc. Okay. The last thing I have is this play by Jacob Trouba. Where he fully, like, baseball bat swing hits Trent Frederick in the head.
Cute. That's lovely. You know,
I will say, I recall, he's not, like, that clean a player. I don't think he's ever been suspended, but I don't think he's, like, a particularly clean player. But, you know, in peak, we were sitting here not criticizing so much the Department of Player Safety. It's time to criticize them again. They only fined him $5,000, like, the maximum fine. He should have been suspended several games, mm-hmm. like close to 20 games.
Look at how hard he hits him. First of all, I'm surprised that the stick didn't break. Second of all, like, he really winds it up, and like as he's coming up, he really puts his body into that swing. Imagine if that hit his neck and not his helmet.
Exactly. He could still have whiplash from that. Like, that mm-hmm. is, and it's totally obvious that that is not a legal play.
Yeah,
totally obvious that it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe, like, George Parros needs to fucking go. Oh, Brendan Shanahan, please retake your post as head of player safety. And mm-hmm. Kyle Dubas, please come back. Thank you. I'm still on that. It's been how many months? I'm still on it. But yeah, like, that's... This is what we get for saying, oh my goodness, they've applied some consistency. No, they haven't.
I just, like, I don't understand, like, how do you even just see that and be like, $5,000, please?
Exactly.
Like that could have been, you also, like, with these things, which sometimes I don't think people, like, on Twitter, at least, don't take this into account, and I think we all know the people that I'm talking about, but you can't just, like, play, like, sometimes you can't just, like, look at, this isn't even a play, you just can't look at something like this and be like, it hit his helmet, like, whatever, I don't even know what they were doing. They didn't even look like they were in a scrum, so I don't know what the hell was going on there. But, like, you have to think of the implications if it did go wrong. And I think they need to start, like, fining and suspending on if this did take the worst possible, what would you get? Because that's really the only way people learn is by, yeah, maybe you didn't hurt him this time, but when someone does something one time and you're like, I didn't get in trouble, I didn't seriously injure this person, they're just going to keep doing it again and again. And, like, that's something that could be fixed dramatically within this league, is they need to start hefty, especially something like this. Like, you should know better as an adult that has made it to the NHL and has been playing for I don't even know how long. You should know better than to be swinging your stick at somebody's head. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything you said is exactly right. Like, there's no, absolutely zero. There should be zero tolerance for that kind of behavior.
Exactly. Because also, like, why are you being fined when that is, like, number after skating and keeping your skates on the ground? Number two is, like, don't be swinging your stick around. Like, how are you just gonna swing like it's a baseball bat and then just get fined $5,000? They need to start handing them these men like they're toddlers, because no, I can't even watch that anymore. I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there needs to be way stricter punishments. And, like, players, we've talked about this so many times, the NHLPA, what is exactly its job? It seems like its only job is to protect the people who are perpetrating these, you know, these, I don't want to keep trying to say crimes, that's not it, but, you know, hockey crimes. Like, who are the ones who are hurting people or putting people in dangerous situations. That's the only people the NHLPA is defending. Mm-hmm. Like, the NHLPA, we've talked about this before, they need two separate committees. They need a committee to defend that player, and they need a committee to defend the person who this act was committed on.
No, for, like, sure.
If you're going to insist that the NHLPA needs to appeal and say, well, yeah, you're right, we shouldn't have had whatever. It shouldn't be 5 games. It should only be 3. The player who was the act that was committed against should also have a say.
Mm-hmm.
To go, are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely unhinged.
And again, they need to look at it from a, not what did happen, but a what could happen. Because exactly. the could is where you're learning not to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
All right. I haven't seen anything else. I don't know why my timeline is like 98% football. I don't say it.
Mine
I
is
shouldn't say it. I don't know why. I know exactly why. And maybe
fuck the Bills, y'all.
1% Taylor Swift. That's it. That's what's going on my timeline right now. So
this is all football. I'm sick of hearing about the Bills. Find another team, Canada. Damn. Like, why?
The closest one to us.
Find someone else. I freaking hate the Bills. I don't hate the Bills, but like, I do hate the Bills just because they're, oh my God, too many people talk about them. Anyhow. Well,
it is what it is. We're not a football podcast, so it's okay. All right, that's it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at For Puck's Sake Pod, Instagram at For Puck's Sake Podcast, TikTok at For Puck's Sake Pod, and Tumblr at For Puck's Sake Podcast. Bye.
Bye.